The Holy Spirit upon our Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. John the Baptizer speaks, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee. And coming to the Jordan and coming to John to be baptized by him, John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We'd like to read the same account in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. A voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." So often we apply those verses to the heavens being opened to Jesus. Now, Jesus was a remarkable child. At the age of 12, he went into the temple and there sat down with the doctors of the law, the wisest men of Israel. And there exchanged debate and questions and fellowship on the scriptures with them, and they were astounded at the depth of knowledge of this 12-year-old boy. That scriptural account in Luke continues with the fact that Jesus grew in grace and favor with God and man. And I think that the scriptures show us that the heavens being opened applies primarily to John the Baptizer as an evidence that Jesus, in fact, was the Son of God, the Messiah. And I believe that we have confirmation of this insight from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. John the Baptizer was speaking to his disciples, speaking on behalf of his baptizing with water, and telling them that there is one who stands among you whom you don't know. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him. But so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it remained upon him. I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So this attestation of the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and that the Holy Spirit of God came upon him is primarily the recognition of John the Baptist, who conveyed that information to those who were following after him. But didn't Jesus receive something special at that moment? Something incredibly wonderful and powerful at the time of his baptism? Didn't something happen when the Holy Spirit came upon him and there was this visual manifestation of a dove lighting upon him? And the voice of God coming out of heaven, this is my son in whom I am well pleased? Well, yes, something very special did happen at that moment. In Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read the effect of the Holy Spirit upon our Lord at that point. Immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And angels were ministering to him. The Spirit impelled him, an irresistible force, to obey the will of God and to go forth into the wilderness and there to be tempted. Not just at the end of 40 days, but Mark is telling us that our Lord was tempted for 40 days. And when the 40 days were ended, this culmination of the three peculiar and particular temptations of the adversary. Luke chapter 4 amplifies this thought. Luke chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. Jesus, now full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And then the devil came with his three last temptations. Jesus was now full of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think this is significant. It was the Spirit of God that impelled him to go forth in the wilderness, and we infer that what happened during that 40 days, that this vast volume of knowledge that he had, the, probably a photographic memory of the entire scriptures up to that point, was instantly accessible to him, and he began to reason on the scriptures and to fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And the plan of God just opened up so powerfully to him. And he understood in a way that he could not have understood before. And this is remarkable. Here is the Lord from heaven, the Son of God, who came to earth, and yet he could not fully grasp and fully understand with the depth necessary until he had received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. As a recognition of this, we have one enormously exciting moment in Scripture. And it is early in Jesus' ministry, and the record is in also Luke chapter 4. Beginning with verse 16, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and took up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Talk about divine providence. And he opens the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Close the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." What a wonderful moment. Jesus' recognition of the purpose of the Spirit of God coming upon him. And of course, he was quoting from Isaiah 61, and we will read from there. The purpose of the Spirit being put upon him was that the Lord had anointed him to the office of king. The Lord had anointed him to the office of priest, and as such, he was to bring the good news to the afflicted. He was to bind up the brokenhearted. He was to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting and weariness, so that they might be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. A marvelous purpose for our Lord to come. Not to berate mankind, not to rub their noses in the fact that they're sinful, but to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, to give them a garland of flowers, a symbol of hope to those who had only ashes, to give them the oil of gladness instead of a spirit of mourning. This is the purpose of Jesus receiving the Spirit of God. And we believe that same purpose has come down upon his people in the present time. Not only the purpose of Jesus' anointing with the Holy Spirit is given to us in the book of Isaiah, but also the effect of Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit. And that is in that marvelous section of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 11. Chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. That, of course, is our Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. It will be a spirit of wisdom and understanding. It will be a spirit of counsel and strength. The spirit of knowledge and the reverential fear of God. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. What a marvelous prophecy of the effect of the Spirit of God upon him. He needed that Spirit, because that Spirit gave him the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That Spirit gave him the Spirit of counsel and strength. That Spirit enabled him to have knowledge and a reverential fear of God that is so necessary to balance out this powerful knowledge that he had. Our Lord's beginning of the Holy Spirit at the River Jordan is a great moment, not just in Earth's history, but in the history of all time. We return to the Gospel of Mark. Continuing on in the first chapter, John the Baptizer recognized the office of the Messiah, the Son of God. The Lord worked powerfully through his Spirit in John as well. And John notes in verses 7 and 8 of Mark chapter 1 that he was preaching and saying, "After me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I think that's important. Jesus received this mighty begetting of the Holy Spirit, and the mighty power that we saw in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 61 that that conferred upon him. And now Jesus would baptize others with that same Holy Spirit. Peter acknowledges this in Acts the second chapter, verses 32 and 33. On the day of Pentecost, he says, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this, which you both see and hear." The Holy Spirit coming upon the church was through the instrumentality of our Lord Jesus.